Well, praise God. Welcome to tonight's home group lesson. We're so glad that you can be with us tonight. And now tonight we're going to be talking about part three in the Complications of the Soul series. And tonight's theme is the number one anti-anxiety, and that is Jesus Christ. And would you turn with me right now? We're going to go to the book of 1 Peter, and we're going to go to chapter 5. And we're going to be talking about anxiety and fear. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7. And it's a common scripture that we hear quite often. And it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Hallelujah. He cares for us. And so would you join me right now in a time of prayer? Lord, we are so thankful and privileged to be able to open up your word tonight. God, we are going to be looking into your word about anxieties and fears, and we just pray, Lord, that you would speak to our heart, to challenge us, Lord, and to help us to grow closer to you tonight. God, we just pray that you have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so the question, what is anxiety? The reality is that we will all suffer a form of anxiety and fear at some point in our life. We only have to look at the lockdown in the pandemic last year, and even some places in the world are still in lockdown right now. But there is mass fear and mass anxiety happening in the world today. And with mass fear and mass anxiety, there's some things that happen. In Australia, when there was a lockdown, there was panic. And the first item to run off the shelves out of all things was toilet paper. Now, that'll cause a bit of anxiety if you missed out on grabbing your toilet paper and you had none at home. Hundreds and thousands of people experienced the feeling of anxiety. And a lot of people take anti-anxiety and antidepressant medication. Many depend upon prescribed drugs to overcome these feelings and these emotions. Even myself as a young teenager, I had to take prescribed medication for my anxiety and my depression. And as I had to take these, it was quite daunting because I felt so alone, because I felt like I was the only one that had to take these medications. I felt like I was the only one that had this anxiety. I felt like I was the only one that had this fear. But the reality is there are many that have this same concern, this same mental health. And the reality is that there are a lot of people, and you are not alone if you experience these things. Mental health issues require professional care and medications. And when you are prescribed with these medications, it is up to us to take those medications. It's up to us if we want to get better, if we want to overcome anxiety, if we want to overcome depression. It is our responsibility to get that help, to take that help. If the professional doctor gives you prescribed medicine, if the doctor says you need to go for a walk and get exercise, you need to eat the right things, it is up for us to take that upon ourselves and apply that advice. But with all those things, and they are good and they are needed in the world today, there is another hope that we have, and that is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is the Prince of peace in a world of anxiety today. And I can testify that I am no longer on medication for depression and anxiety, but rather he is my help in times of need. Did you know that with anxiety and fear, it is not the will of God for you to live that way? It isn't the will of God that you live in a state of fear and you are so anxious that you cannot make moves or decisions in your life. Did you know that these chains of anxiety, it sometimes feels like bondage, so much so that you cannot even socialize. You cannot do what in, I guess, the world considers norms of social activities, such as getting outside of the house to go to the shops, going from your house to a friend's house, to be even able to talk to parents about the way that you are feeling, these social norms, because your anxiety has you held hostage. You see, we need Jesus, the Prince of Peace, in our life. God never intended us to be bound by anxiety and depression and fear. We need God to help us through these things. See, 1 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You see, fear and anxiety, it can hold you hostage in your home. Fear and anxiety can even make you feel hostage, even in the choices that you make. If fear is keeping us from living life to the fullest, there is a prescribed medicine. And here comes the hard choice, because if we are given medicine, if we are given the advice to overcome something, it is our responsibility to take that advice. And so when we are overcome by anxiety, when we are overcome by fear, it is up for us to make the decision that I am going to seek after God. It is my responsibility to turn the thoughts in my mind to say, no, God is the way, the truth, and the life. It is our responsibility. God never said that we would not experience fear and anxiety. It's just we're not supposed to be bound by it. God wants us to live a free life, a life of victory, a life of joy. And so it is our responsibility to open up the Word of God, to meditate in His Scriptures when we get anxious. Another important one is to connect with other fellow believers in fellowship. Such an important thing to do. And during lockdown, it is very difficult because we are isolated, we are by ourselves. But at whatever means necessary, try and connect with some other believers, because it's important. In 2 Corinthians 7, verses 5 to 7, we even read about Paul. And Paul in his ministry, even he experienced fear. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5 to 7, it says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without where were fightings, within were fears." And I like what he says this. He says, "Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down." God is with me despite the feelings that I'm experiencing right now. Paul had legitimate fears. He was in physical danger. The church was being persecuted. You can imagine how much that would play on the mind. Rather than Paul grabbing the magnifying glass of life and pointing at his surroundings and his circumstances, Paul grabbed the magnifying glass and he pointed it towards God. "My circumstances are very real, yes, but my God is greater." And he took that magnifying glass off the surroundings, the persecutions, the danger, the anxiety, the fears, but he pointed it towards God. He said, "Nevertheless, despite all these things, God is my comfort." Amen. Hallelujah. What an encouragement. Sometimes we just need to point that magnifying glass in the right way. And so when we have anxiety, we need to take that magnifying glass off our problems, off our fears. And again, that's our responsibility, and we must point it towards God. Yes, the problems, the anxieties that we face are real. I'm not denying that those things aren't real. They are very real, but we must understand that God is greater than those things. Let's look at some promises. John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you." Psalms 46, verses 1 to 2, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore I will not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the sea." And 1 Chronicles 28 verse 30, "Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, it says. Fear not and not be dismayed, for the Lord God will be with thee. What promises. What great promises we have. We can magnify that instead of our anxieties and fears. And we need to take the word of God and magnify those promises. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, now I'm going to invite Brother Alex, and he's going to share a bit more on fear tonight in this lesson. Praise God.
Praise God. So fear. The dictionary defines fear as an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. Now, fear is very natural. God put fear in us for a very good reason, and that is to keep us from harm. It's a natural reaction to opposition that could cause us harm. Now, we all have an innate fear of falling, not necessarily a fear of heights, but of actually falling off. And that's to stop us from falling to death. We also have a fear of loud noises. Everyone startles a little bit when they hear a loud noise. That's to keep you alert and safe from any danger. For me personally, I am quite scared of spiders and birds, which can either be irrational when a bird is just sitting there or a spider's like tiny, but when they're bigger and spiders case more poisonous, it can be rational. But there is a reason for fear. But fear can become so large in our lives that it makes us freeze. It overwhelms us. It stops us from achieving our full God-given potential. That's not God's purpose for fear in our lives. But on a bigger scale, what is the purpose of fear? What is the purpose of fear in a spiritual life? Because after all, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Fear of the Lord. There are a few reasons why we need to have fear from a spiritual perspective. But I want to first make it clear that we do not need to be afraid of the enemy at all. We need to have no fear because we already have the victory in Jesus and through Jesus. And we know that the enemy is fearful, not just fearful, but it flees at the very name of Jesus. God uses fear in our lives to fashion us into his image and into his plan for our lives. And there are several ways that he will do this. So number one, God uses fear to redirect us away from sin and into obedience of his words. There are legitimate reasons for us to be afraid sometimes. Sin and evil abound in this world, and it's more and more every day. And we need to be aware of what could happen to us and the harm that could befall us from this sin. We're human. We aren't all powerful. We are vulnerable without God. All we do is make choices. And although we are called by God and chosen, we are not exempt from the consequences of our sin and the consequences of our choices. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And in Romans 6 verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So these show us that our actions always have consequences. And although we don't see the eternal consequences of our sin because we are saved through Jesus and because he died on the cross and washed away our sins with his blood, we still see the temporary consequences, the consequences on this earth of our choices. And there are many biblical examples of people who suffered the consequences of sin. One is Sodom and Gomorrah, destroyed with fire and brimstone. Another is Adam and Eve. They lost their place in the Garden of Eden because they disobeyed God. And we, all of us, feel the consequences of their choices to this day. This redirection from sin is ultimately a fear of consequences, which is an important fear for us to have if we don't let it overwhelm us, because we see the consequences of our sin and we turn away from it and turn to God. So number two, God uses fear to show us our frailty and lead us into introspection about ourselves and his word so we can grow on a personal level and learn to trust and depend on God. When we have a healthy fear of God or respect for God and knowledge of our own human vulnerability, there's an element of fear present, always. When you truly understand how vulnerable we are without God in our lives, it can be quite scary sometimes. Thinking about how powerful God is and how weak we are as humans, we should have enough fear in us that we need to depend on and trust God, but not so much that it overcomes us. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And in Psalm 56, 11, it says, "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." The element of fear that is present when we think about our weakness and his power actually protects us from the enemy, protects us from the world, from other people, protects us from ourselves. It means that we put our trust in God, and when we do that, he protects us. We realize we're vulnerable, put our trust in God, and we don't have to fear things on the outside things, the enemy at all, other people, what we do to ourselves. Number three is God can use fear to keep us from hurting ourselves and save us from hell. And I touched on this already. We need to have a level of fear that comes from respecting God, which keeps us desiring to please God, to be obedient to his word and to live a life of devotion to him. We can't be obedient to God if we don't respect his word, respect him. Obedience is a sign of respect. So if there is obedience, there is respect, and vice versa. But we also need to be aware of the reality of hell. It is real, and it is punishment. And we need this awareness that brings a healthy amount of fear, that keeps us reminded of the consequences of our sin and living an unrepentant life. And this comes back to understanding the consequences of our actions. The awareness of the reality of hell helps us to truly understand that the wages of sin is death. The cost of sin is death. Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Ecclesiastes 12 verses 13 and 14 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So fear in a spiritual sense of God and respect for him is important. But fear on the outside, we need not fear. Do not be afraid, because we have God on our side. If he is for us, who can be against us? But when we do face fear, and it's going to happen, I mean birds and spiders for me. Every time I walk past a bird, I get a bit scared. What are some practical ways to deal with this? Because it's all well and good for us to say, just overcome it. But it takes time, and it takes purpose, and it takes action. The first and most important practical way is this. God is everywhere. He hears all your words and sees all your actions. He knows where you are, and he's protecting you. Truly understanding that helps us to deal with the fear in our lives. And it's really important to know that he is for you. Number two, breathe. Take some deep breaths. And I know everyone says this and it's a bit of a cliche, but it's quite true. When I myself was going through a time of quite severe anxiety, I kept getting told to breathe by psychologists, by my family, just breathe. But when I started taking deep breaths, I found my mind still racing. And although it would slow down, my mind would still be racing. And I found that I had to intensify intentionally focus on something else. Because when you take your deep breaths, you're slowing your body down, you slow your mind down. So I started thinking about two things. I started focusing on how deep I was breathing and Jesus. This is crucial when we are fearful. If you don't remember Jesus in your time of fear, you will remain fearful. I started by thinking the name, just thinking Jesus, 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 and then saying it out loud. Not loud, doesn't have to be, but saying it out loud and just start praying, Lord, take this fear away. Jesus, be with me. Show me the way out of this. Show me the truth. 1 John 4 verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Jesus is perfect love. So when we say the name, it casts out fear. And the final practical tip I can give you is that when you start to become fearful, question it. Question it. Is this true? Does the Bible agree with this? Will the outcome of this situation be detrimental to me in the long term? How likely is this to happen? How much of this reaction I'm having is me being fearful, me being anxious, me overreacting? If we don't question our fearful and anxious thoughts, we let them take root in our minds. And the more we do that, the more it will happen. It becomes our instant reaction. We create a neural pathway and it turns into a superhighway, not just a path. We can't let it take root in our mind. We can't let it take root in our hearts. As soon as they take root, they become hard to take out. But we also need to have the Word of God in our lives and rooted in our hearts and in our minds. Because when we start getting fearful, we can start to think, fear not, for he is with us. Fear not, do not be afraid. We can start to think, Joshua 1:19, which says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What an encouragement that is. He is with us wherever we go. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous and know that he is with us and protecting us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you're with us, that you never leave us nor forsake us, that you are before us, behind us, and beside us, and that we need not fear the things of this world, that we can trust in you, that we need not be anxious, for you are already in our future. You're already there leading us. We know that your purpose and will for our lives is for our good. So I just pray right now that you would remind us of this. Anytime we are fearful, anytime we are anxious, Lord, anytime that we start to feel those feelings, Lord, remind us of this. Be strong and courageous. Be of good courage. Do not be afraid, for you are with us. Be with us as we go, Lord God, and bless us. Don't let us be fearful. We are so grateful for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining us tonight, and have a blessed week. God bless you.